The Senate has voted to nullify the SEC's crypto rule for banks, but will President Joe Biden veto it? Good morning. You're listening to the Rise and Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph with me, Robert Baggs, steering you through the crypto cosmos with daily dispatches from the digital frontier. If you want the crazy world of crypto condensed into a 15-minute daily debrief, then you better click that follow button. Okay, grab yourself a coffee and let's get into it. Well, it's another week down in crypto, but it's been a pretty good week for Bitcoin. And in today's episode, that is where we're going to start. First, by looking at the spot Bitcoin ETFs, which have seen 7-week highs in volume. And then why the longer this consolidation period lasts, the better it is long term. Then we're going to move on to the US Senate vote on the SEC's crypto rule, explaining what it is, why it's been squashed, and why none of that may matter. In the penultimate story, I'm going to give a breakdown of exactly what an address poisoning scam is and how Binance believes it has the antidote. And finally, we look at the ever-expanding partnership between Tether and Tun. So Bitcoin held steady in the past 24 hours, and at 6 a.m. Eastern, we're still above $66,000. But the real story of the past 24 hours is that it has been comeback season for the spot Bitcoin ETFs. In the past month or so, I've covered that the spot Bitcoin ETF inflows had more or less dried up, and we even saw a few days where there were net outflows for all 10 ETFs. And to be honest, it got to the point where it just wasn't worth mentioning. The volume was around the same most days, and it was very quiet. Now, we always knew this was going to happen. It wasn't unexpected, and particularly after an utterly explosive march around the all-time highs for BTC. But yesterday, sentiment revealed that 7 of the spot Bitcoin ETFs had hit a trading volume of $5.65 billion between them, which is the highest since the 24th of March, and it eclipses the total volume of most days in recent weeks. According to data from Farside, there were $257.3 million of total inflows yesterday, even including Grayscale, who had $4.6 million in inflows. More surprising than that is Grayscale actually had $27 million of inflows the day before. All in all, pending today's numbers, we could be in for overall positive inflows into the spot Bitcoin ETFs every day this week. Now, there's also been one piece of analysis that I've seen time and time again since the halving, but yesterday, Charles Edwards of Capriol Investments coloured in some more detail and brought it up to date. So the topic is Bitcoin's state of consolidation, or what some might call stagnation, and I certainly do that on days I'm feeling frustrated with the slow pace of everything. But most analysts call it consolidation, which has far more positive connotations. It is presented as being akin to Bitcoin gathering strength before charging on upward. Well, despite the CPI-related rally we've seen this week, Edwards believes that we are still stuck in the $58,000 to $65,000 region for up to another 4 months. However, as I say, there is this delayed gratification type of dynamic with consolidation, in that the longer that BTC is stuck in a holding pattern, the better the rally when it finally breaks out. Edwards said, "The technical picture remains bullish, provided the price holds above $58,000. The longer we spend in the range highs, the more likely this structure will merge into a classic cup and handle pattern, which would typically see strong price appreciation following." The investment management firm ARK Invest shared Edwards' long-term bullish stance in a recent report too, though they did sort of taper the more outlandish expectations. The report read, "Assuming a 3x Bitcoin price increase a year after the halving this time around might be too optimistic. That said, this chart highlights the case for Bitcoin's increasing scarcity over a meaningful time horizon. Nevertheless, if we are still in the traditional cycles and it plays out as expected, then BTC is looking at a price tag of around $200,000. Do you think that's possible? Share your thoughts with us on @Cointelegraph and @RKBags on X and @RKBags on Warpcast. Yesterday, there was a vote in the US Senate that pertains to the SEC and crypto, and it's becoming quite the saga. So here's our very own Turner Wright to explain it.
So in the U.S. Senate today, we've seen some movement on a joint resolution labeled 109, which would nullify the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission's Staff Accounting Bulletin number 121. Now, this rule is specifically targeting banks and their activities on crypto, and many have criticized it for stifling innovation, for basically requiring them to keep customers' digital assets on their balance sheet with capital maintained against them. There, it wasn't clear whether it would pass either the House or the Senate initially, but it has received a lot of media attention. The House passed it with bipartisan support last week, and now the Senate has moved forward with a supermajority on that, a 60-38 vote. Now, despite all this, President Joe Biden has said, or did say rather last week, that he intended to veto the bill. That doesn't necessarily mean it's dead. It can still go back, but it would need to pass with a two-thirds majority.
So as Turner says, although it has passed the House and it yesterday passed the Senate, and it did so resoundingly, President Biden has stated he plans to veto it. And so if there was a re-vote and everybody voted the same, there wouldn't be a two-thirds majority and it wouldn't go through. Representative Mike Flood, who voted yes on this resolution, said, "It is clear there is overwhelming opposition to SAB 121, and I urge President Biden to reconsider his previous statement of intent to veto the resolution." So for now, it looks like we're just going to have to wait and see. Recently, I discussed the scam of an unknown trader who lost $68 million worth of wrapped Bitcoin in a single transaction. As that awful news made its way around, I saw a lot of misunderstandings of the type of scam this trader fell foul of. So before I go through how Binance is now attempting to tackle it, I want to better explain the scam. The $68 million of wrapped Bitcoin was stolen using an address poisoning scam. In essence, this is what typically happens. A scammer finds a high-value victim and works out what wallet they may send funds to in the future. The scammer then creates a wallet and gives it a vanity address. The vanity address will have the same first few characters and the same last few characters as the wallet the victim may send funds to, but the characters in the middle, of course, will be different. The scammer then sends a very small amount of crypto to the victim from the vanity scam wallet, so it becomes part of the victim's wallet's transaction history and thus a remembered address. Then they just wait to see if the victim accidentally sends it to the scam address. Think how easy this is to fall for in actuality. Let's say you're moving your crypto between two wallets, so you click the recent address which you recognize and then you go about checking it. You'll often check the first and last few characters. So you might look at it and say 0x19f3 blah 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 gr721, yep, that's the right address. Except those blah 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 characters in the middle that you didn't really check is where the difference is. Address poisoning is a highly targeted scam, but a brutal one when it works. And it seems that the frequency of these sorts of scams is on the rise, and so Binance's security experts have been working on a solution, or as they call it, an antidote. In a report they shared with us, they wrote, "We have developed a unique method of identifying poisoned addresses, which helps us to alert users before they send money to criminals and was instrumental in identifying and flagging more than 13.4 million spoofed addresses on the BNB smart chain and 1.68 million on Ethereum." Now, Binance's antidote algorithm detects spoofed addresses by identifying suspicious transfers, for example, ones with near zero value or unknown tokens, and then it pairs them with potential victim addresses before timestamping malicious transactions to find the potential point of poisoning. The spoofed address is then registered in the database of the Web3 security firm Hashdit, which is Binance's security partner, and this helps protect the wider crypto industry from poisoning scams. It's becoming an interesting dance between these security firms and the scammers, because I guess the fewer characters the scammer changes on the victim's target address, the higher the likelihood the address poisoning scam will be effective, but also the easier it is for Binance to detect it with their algorithm. Whatever the case, make sure you check addresses thoroughly when sending crypto, particularly if you're sending large amounts. A few weeks back, I discussed the keynote presentation at Token 2049 in Dubai, which announced the collaboration between the stablecoin issuer Tether and the chat app Telegram's blockchain arm, the Open Network, or TON for short. So Tether, USDT, and Tether Gold, XAUT, which is pegged to, you guessed it, gold, launched on TON in April. More than $200 million of USDT has been issued on TON, and users can already send it in Telegram messages. Well, the functionality has now been significantly fleshed out with a recent addition. The mobile payment app Ubit has been incorporated, and Ubit's Tap and Pay technology will allow merchants to receive payments in fiat currency even if the customer pays in USDT. We spoke to the CEO of Tether, Paolo Arduino, about the Ubit integration, and he said, "Together, we will provide banking solutions to the unbanked population and revolutionize how users transact with cryptocurrencies, making it easier and more convenient. Tether was in fact one of the investors in Ubit's Series A funding round back in February, alongside Solana, which raised $25 million, so the collaboration perhaps isn't all that surprising. Ubit CEO Amran Adar said of the partnership, "We're not just providing another payment option. We're providing unbanked access to the most prominent cryptocurrencies and worldwide payments using Ubit." Now, I think there might be a little bit of confusion on how Ubit's Tap and Pay works. I saw a lot of comments on social media that didn't quite understand the functionality. You can tap to pay with crypto anywhere on Earth that accepts contactless payments, and while your balance of whatever crypto you choose, USDT for example, goes down when you make the payment, the shop or the merchant receives their fiat currency like any other transaction. It's middleman work at its finest, and as the brilliant Michael Gambon said in Layer Cake, the art of good business is being a good middleman. Okay, that is it for today and for another week in crypto. Consider yourself informed. Thank you for listening to the Rise and Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph. If you're enjoying these daily updates, please make sure you let us know by following, subscribing, or leaving a review. You can also join our community on Warpcast under the channel name RNC, where I give previews of the next day's episodes and we discuss the biggest topics in crypto. Okay, have a great weekend. Let's do this again Monday.